This is Alive with Joseph.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to go straight into the Word of God. But you know, the message on Sunday really ministered so much to me. And I really want to encourage you to go back and listen to that message over and over and over again. I battled in my spirit between sharing the word that God has put in my heart today, because I've been studying the book of Ephesians, and a part of me wanted to go that route, but I could hear the Holy Spirit saying, no, that's not what I want now. But one of the things you pick up in the book of Ephesians, it's a book that has been divided into three parts. And when you begin with it, you begin to see who you are in Christ. And as you continue with it, you begin to realize what Christ has done for you. And as you conclude, you see what you're able to do in Christ. And one of the powers that God has given to us that you can't find anywhere in the world is the power that resurrected Jesus. The Bible says that same power is at work in us. Glory to God. That is why you and I can never be hopeless, because we have the power that raised Jesus from the dead. And I know that that power is at work even tonight, because as his word goes forth, that power is activated. Therefore, I've titled my message tonight, Breaking Captivity. Tell your neighbor, breaking captivity. Say, breaking captivity. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 1, Ezekiel chapter 1 verse 1, the Bible says, now it came to pass. It says, now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Cheddar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Hallelujah. This was the prophet Ezekiel speaking here. He said, now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives. Ezekiel says, I found myself sitting amongst the captives. If you read that verse there, it says, I was by the river Sheba. That word Sheba there literally means greatness. It has a few different meanings, but one of the major meanings is that it means greatness. So here is a prophet with so much great potential, with all the ordination and the calling of God on his life. He says, I found myself sitting where I should not be sitting. Hallelujah. Because in life, there are places we must never sit. If you read Psalm chapter 1, it tells you, chapter 1 verse 1, that there are places that you must not sit. And one of those places is amongst mockers of God. Hallelujah. And this great man of God says that with all the greatness that I have, I found myself sitting in a place of captivity. In other words, he said, I sat amongst the great, but I couldn't experience greatness. What an error. Many of you have come close to greatness, and yet you have never accessed greatness. Some of you have even touched greatness, and yet you have not accessed it. You have shaken hands with greatness, but you have never accessed it. And some of you have even gone beyond that. You know that in you is a seed of greatness. Everything in you tells you you are great, but somehow you are struggling to step into that place of greatness. I declare that that story is changing tonight in the name of Jesus. Your life has been a life of battle. Your life has been a life of struggle. You feel like, you know, you are in captivity because the greatness in you that wants to find expression. I declare tonight that by the power that resurrected Jesus, your greatness will find expression in the name of Jesus. Your greatness will find expression in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know who you are, and I don't care where you've come from. The reality is, at the point of regeneration, that seed of greatness was activated in the inside of you. Because the Bible tells us about our father Abraham. The Bible says when God appeared to Abraham the first time, he says, I will give you a name and I will make you great. Hallelujah. Which means that has automatically become our heritage in Christ Jesus. In you is the seed of greatness, because you are the seed of Abraham.
But when somebody is captivated, they find themselves living a limited life. Because captivity puts a limitation in the life of a person. You find that even if you're doing your best, you're doing all that you can, somehow, there is a limitation. Oh, but that story is changing tonight in the name of Jesus. That story is changing tonight in the name of Jesus. I want us to look at a few things that brings captivity. Number one, I want you to understand that sin brings captivity. Tell your neighbor, sin brings captivity. Tell your neighbor, sin brings captivity. If it's a woman, say my sister. If it's a man, say my brother. Sin brings captivity. Listen, when you find yourself keep doing the same thing over and over that you know you're not supposed to be doing, know that you are in captivity. When you find yourself over and over vowing that I will not do this again, and yet you find yourself doing it over and over again, you are in captivity. When you find yourself struggling to do the right thing, even when you know the right thing, you are in captivity. But by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, I declare that captivity is broken in the name of Jesus. That captivity is broken in the name of Jesus. It was Jesus who said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to open prison doors." Because the anointing brings us out of any form of bondage. Captivity takes your freedom. When you are a captive, you find yourself saying things that you know you should not be saying. You find yourself, even your speech is affected because that speech is in captivity. You find that, you know, your freedom of movement is limited. Why? Because you are in captivity. When people are in prison, they can only go to a certain limitation, to a certain distance. When you are in captivity, even your association is affected. You are not able to access the people that you're supposed to access in destiny. Listen, this is so powerful because in life, we rise by association. Our association matters. That is why in the world, they will tell you that your network is equal to your net worth. Hallelujah. Because association is powerful. Captivity stops you where you don't want to stop. That is how dangerous captivity is. When you want to move forward, there is something that holds you back. Everything in you tells you, I don't belong here. I need to move forward. But it insists that you stay where you are. It will no longer be your story in the name of Jesus. You will move in the name of Jesus. Because sin makes you a slave. Sin makes you a slave. Have you heard of compulsive liars? People who, if you ask them now, where are you coming from? Even though they know they are coming from Sycard, and they have no reason to lie. No reason. It's not like it's an exam. But somehow, in their mind, they're trying to say Sycard, but it will end up saying Savannah. Because they are compulsive liars. When somebody is a slave to sex, that even when they don't want to do it, they find themselves doing it. Where they cross boundaries, where they know, I'm not supposed to be doing this, they find themselves doing it. When you read the book of Isaiah, it speaks of different dimensions of sin. It speaks of sin, it speaks of iniquity, and it speaks of transgression. Transgression is when, you know what, you've done it so much to the point that your willpower has been bent towards a certain thing. Even when you don't want to do it, as long as that thing passes next to you, you find yourself falling into it. Hallelujah. Have you heard of children that when the parent was taking drugs, when they were pregnant with that child is automatically vulnerable to taking drugs because it is now in their system. That is when you find that you are now a slave to sin. Because now it is in your system. And that is what Jesus came to give us. When we say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, it is not to make us feel good. The coming of Jesus was not to deal with the sin act. It was to deal with the sin nature. So that your nature, if it wants wants to do right, it can do right. When your nature is sin, even if you want to do right, you can't do right. Because it is not an act, it is a nature. When you are in captivity, you are a slave of sin, you find yourself drinking something that you know you're not supposed to be drinking. You find yourself smoking things that you know you're not supposed to smoke. But I command that by the power of resurrection, that hold over your life is broken in the name of Jesus. I lose you from that slave nature in the name of Jesus. The death of Jesus Christ was not in vain. He died for your liberty. Paul says something has tempered with my will. In the book of Romans chapter 7 verse 19, it says, for the good that I will do, I do not do. But the evil I will not do, that I practice. He says, for the good that I will to do. The word for will, there is also the desire. The good that I desire to do, I do not do. But the evil that I do not want to do, I find myself practicing it. Hallelujah. In verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? But you and I can no longer say that in Christ Jesus. Because the deliverer has come. The savior has come. Look at what the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 14. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law but under grace. Do you know what that means? It means that Jesus has powered your will. He has powered your will. What he's saying that now, if a temptation comes, you now have the power to say yes or no. Before, you did not have that power. Now you can say, yes, I want to do this, or yes, I don't want to do this. Glory be to Jesus. Therefore, now that we are born again and we know the truth, what do? We keep renewing our mind by the word of God. As you renew your mind with the word of God, your willpower becomes stronger. I want you to understand that your will is a muscle. It is a spiritual muscle. The same way that if you don't exercise your muscles, they become weak. But if you train yourself to say no to sin, no to temptations, no to evil. As you train yourself to say, no, I will not do this. I'm a child of God. As you train yourself to do it over and over, it will become stronger and stronger and stronger to the point where you will do it without effort. Hallelujah. Say, I am born again. Say, I am a child of God. Say, I have the nature of God. Say, I am no longer a slave to sin. Hallelujah. Refuse to be a slave to sin when Jesus has set you free. Glory be to Jesus. What is the other form of captivity? Sickness can bring captivity. Sometimes it's sickness in the bloodline. That is why those of you who are doctors, you know what I'm talking about. When somebody comes to you to consult, the first thing you ask is, did anybody in your lineage have this? Did your mother struggle with high blood pressure? Why? Because you're trying to trace if it is in the bloodline or not. When that kind of sickness is in the bloodline, it normally moves from generation to generation. But you don't have to accept it. Hallelujah. Say, I don't have to accept it. Say, I don't have to accept it. You can be exempted from the sickness that has been in the family for too long. The fact that your mother had it doesn't mean you should have it. The fact that your father had it doesn't mean you should have it. The fact that your siblings have it does not mean you should have it. Hallelujah. Say, I don't have to have it because Jesus died for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I declare tonight that you are free from that generational sickness in the name of Jesus. I break you free from its hold in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm free from the hold of generational sickness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your father died at 43. And you discover your brother also died at 43. Now you're going towards 43 and your body's already telling you. You know, all of a sudden you're getting funny sicknesses. You have not been sick all along. But just because this year you're going to 40, to 43, all of a sudden you're getting sicknesses that you cannot explain. You go to the doctor, they can't see anything. But when you get home, you become sick again. Ah, that devil is a bastard. It will not be your story in the name of Jesus. It will not be a story in the name of Jesus. You will double your father's age. You will double your mother's age. Actually, you will triple it in the name of Jesus. Because with long life, he will satisfy you. He says, I've come so that you can have life and life in abundance to the full till it overflows in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, I want to believe that it showed up in your life so that you can stop it. Glory to God. For you, it did not show up to kill you. It showed up because God knows you have what it takes to rise up and stop it. And declare, thus far have you come, you will not go any further. Hallelujah. Because in every family, there has to be a savior. There has to be someone who will rise up and say, it ends here. Hallelujah. Therefore, don't accept it. I'm giving you a reason tonight why it showed up. It is not for you to sit and cry and feel pity for yourself. It is for you to rise up and say, enough is enough. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. You need to declare an end to that disease, an end to that infirmity, an end to that affliction in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, you are the one God wants to use. Say, I'm the one God wants to use. Say, I'm the one God wants to use. And he will use you in the name of Jesus. The whole family will benefit because of you. Even children unborn will benefit because of the decision and the stance that you're taking today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Listen, the devil did not create you. Therefore, he cannot manipulate you. Mm-mm. He's not your creator. You know who your creator is. Therefore, the enemy has no right to manipulate your body. He has no right to manipulate your health. Glory to God. The Bible says it all works together for the good of them that love the Lord. That means that all your organs work together for your good. Glory be to Jesus. The Bible says he quickened our mortal bodies. You need to declare it. All my organs are functioning well. Because he quickens my mortal body. I am strong in the name of Jesus. He will not take your life in the name of Jesus. He will not take your life in the name of Jesus. Why? Because the power of God is on your side. It is not just on your side, it's in your inside. Let me show you what the Bible says. In the book of Romans chapter 11 verse 17, it says we were grafted among them. Let me read it from the beginning. It says, and if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being with a wild olive oil, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive trees. Do you know what that means? Those of you who did agriculture, you can literally take a branch of a different tree. You can take even a branch of a narki. And graft it into an orange tree. Have you seen that? Where they mixing. So what he's saying is that before you came from the Nkwashu family, where everybody in the Nkwashu family had these diseases, but when you came into Christ, you were plucked out like a branch and plucked and grafted into Christ. It means that now new blood flows through your veins. And that is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood that cannot die of the diseases of that affected that family. Hallelujah. That is why we don't walk around being afraid of generational what. Because we belong to a different lineage. Hallelujah. And it is the lineage of Jesus Christ. Say, I am grafted in Christ. Glory to God. It means what flows in Christ flows in you. Glory be to Jesus. Listen, you could not help your father, but you can help yourself. Glory to God. You have been given the power to stop it before it stops you. When captivity is not stopped, it's not stopped, it progresses. Pastor was showing us on Sunday. You will stop it in the name of Jesus. There are people that died mysteriously in your family. Died mysteriously. Everybody, you cannot explain the source of their death. Even though you do your best to try to explain it, it doesn't make sense. Everyone's death is mysterious. But that devil is a liar. You must rise up and declare it comes to an end. I announce a new order over this family. An order of life. An order of long life. You must call everyone by name and declare you will live. You will live to see your grandchildren. Hallelujah. Say it must stop in the name of Jesus. Say it stops now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In the book of John chapter 5 verse 5, we see a man that was in captivity. The Bible says, now a certain man was there who had infirmity 38 years. Glory to God. Some of you here are 50 years. This man was sick for 38 years, minus 38 from 50. That means over half of his life he was sick. Over half of his life he could only lay in one place. His movement was restricted. Because that is what happens when sickness garages you. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have. It doesn't matter how brilliant ideas you have. If you are sick, you are garaged to a position. You are garaged to a spot. Hallelujah. The water was in front of him, but he could not enter. People were jumping in and be healed. But because he was under captivity, he could not jump in. But the devil is a liar. You will jump in tonight because the waters in this atmosphere have been stirred up in the name of Jesus. You are healed and you are healed forever in the name of Jesus. Say, I am healed and I'm healed forever. Listen, this man had no one to help him. Because when captivity is operating, nobody wants to help you. Even when you go to doctors who are willing to help, paying a lot of money for them to help you, they can't see anything because a person is under captivity. They cannot deny that there's something wrong with this person, but they cannot see what is wrong. But today, by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, no matter what it is that they see or don't see, today you are healed in the name of Jesus. You are healed in the name of Jesus. When you're in captivity, people walk away from you. When you're in captivity, people abandon you. But that story changes today in the name of Jesus. It's a new day for you. You are blessed from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. I want you to put your head on your head and say, I am blessed from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. In the name of Jesus. Say, I am healed. Say, I am healed. Say, I have the life of Christ in me. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, something just left somebody right now. Something just left somebody now. Something just left somebody right now. Something just left somebody right now. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. You will live a full life. You will live a life of impact. Glory to God. The third form of captivity is the captivity of poverty. Listen, poverty is real. And poverty can be a spirit as well. Actually, the Bible says in the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 15, this was Gideon speaking. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in manners, and I am the least in my father's house. Hallelujah. What was he saying? The angel just told him his potential of greatness. He called him a mighty man of valor. the potential that he carried, which I want to believe, since now he's talking about poverty, I want to believe that it connected also to his financial greatness. That is why he ran straight to talk about poverty. He said, I am the poorest in the house of the poorest. That is levels of poverty. He said, my situation is worse than anybody else. My father's house is poor. Yes, it's understandable. But out of my father's house, my own poverty is the worst. Ah, that will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. That will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. Listen, poverty can be a captivity. When poverty gets hold of you, it affects anything and everything you do for a living. It makes you keep making poverty-producing decisions. Have you seen such people? That when it comes to money, every decision they make, it will bring them to a place of poverty. It makes you keep taking poverty-producing actions. You hold on to poverty-producing attitudes. Because there are attitudes that produces poverty. Hallelujah. Let's look at the prodigal son. The Bible says from the book of Luke chapter 15 from verse 13 to 16, the NIV translation. It says, not long after that, the young son got together all he had, set off from a distant country. That was the first wrong decision that he made. The first decision that you make when it's a captivity, you walk away from the father's house. You walk away from God. Because money does not equal to wealth. He had money, he had substance. But the spirit of poverty was already upon him. And it seduced him out of the father's house. And then it says, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. The second type of decisions that you begin to see is, you know, the Bible says he squandered his wealth. That is also another thing that produces poverty. It says, after he had spent everything, because when it's a captivity, you spend everything. There was a severe famine. Listen, my God, the devil is the bastard. There was no famine in the land, though. As long as he had resources, there was no famine. Everything was. He could have made it again. But immediately when he finished, a famine hit the land. It says, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with pods that pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. You remember with sickness, the Bible says no one wanted to help the man because he was in captivity. With poverty, the Bible says no one wanted to give to him. That devil is a bastard. I declare today, people will give to you in the name of Jesus. Contracts will be given to you in the name of Jesus. Deals will be given to you in the name of Jesus. Jobs will be given to you in the name of Jesus. Listen, there are people who generally, they are lazy. And because sometimes it's not normal laziness. It's laziness that is powered by the spirit of captivity. Where no matter how much you preach about laziness, that person, they'll rather shout, but will never take action. No matter how much you talk to them about, do something, they would rather beg. Because that is what the spirit of poverty does. It wants to reduce you to a beggar. You see, it's okay to go through a temporal situation. But when that situation becomes your normal, something is wrong. We will all go through seasons where things are not going the way they're supposed to do. That is normal. But not when you are comfortable with that. And you're not making an effort to come out. Because what they don't understand is there is something that is working on them. It is a spirit that is at work. There are another set of people, when the spirit of poverty is at work, you find cunning attitudes, or what I call criminal minds. One of the shows that I like on TV is Criminal Minds. I don't know why. It fascinates me. Criminal mind. Haven't you seen people that, you know what, they struggle with integrity. They have to cheat someone. They have to tell a lie. They have to, somehow, their mind is twisted to cheat others. It is not normal. Even when they want to do things straight, somehow they will find a corner. It is a spirit of, that person's mind is under captivity. No matter how much you tell them that integrity is a currency, they don't get it. If you don't have money, but you have integrity, I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time before you bounce back. It's just a matter of time before you bounce back. Because integrity is a currency. Hallelujah. And then you also get warriors. People that are battle-minded. They fight everybody and everywhere. It's the truth. And sometimes it's because when you grow up without anybody fighting for you, you become a warrior. Because now you find you defend yourself. You get a job, you fight everybody. Anywhere you're put, you become a warrior. Those kind of actions produces poverty. Because it is captivity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can I speak to men a bit? Is it okay if I speak to the men? As a man, don't ever feel comfortable being fed by a woman. Do you hear what I'm saying? Can I get a hoo-ha? Yes. A man should never be comfortable being fed by a woman. It is an abomination. It is an error. Your wife might be earning a higher salary. That's fine. That's a different story. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a man being comfortable with a woman feeding him day and night, day after day. It should never be. It is not the order of God. It is not the order of God, and it must not be permitted. Glory to God. Can I speak to women as well? Can I speak to us ladies? Don't agree to be in a position where with all your intellect, with all your capabilities and your abilities, you sit at home and you say, a man will take care of me. Even if he wants to, from the bottom of his heart, don't do it. Here's why. If something happens to him today, you have no skill, you have no qualification, you have no experience, what will happen to you? You know, we speak about a woman has a biological age. Am I right? We speak about a woman's biological age. A man also has a financial age, an employable age. There is an age as a young man that if you don't allow yourself to be employed, there is an age that if you get to, it is difficult for you to employ you. I worked in HR. One of the things you look at when you look at the CV, all industries are looking for young minds. If you find old people in the industry, they've been there for long. If they employ you at an old age, you probably have one of the few things. You have experience, you have qualified, you have done, you know, you can prove you have done this. Therefore, when you are young as a young man, do your best to be employable. So that when you are older and something happens, you are still safe. Hallelujah. This thing of, yeah, no, thank you for clapping for me, my husband. I don't know if I'm making sense. Fight to be employable. If you're not employable, if nobody's employing you, do something. Do something. You are too loaded for you to sit and not do anything. Waiting for the government. Sell something. Do something. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to Jesus. But then there are some men who wants to work, They are trying hard, but they can't find work. You know, there are some people, I remember hearing a story of a man who got employed 3 times in 1 year. He would get a job, and out of nowhere, they'll just come and fire him for no reason. Get another job, they'll come and fire him for no reason. Third job, for no reason. Tell me that is normal. It cannot be normal. There is something at work that is bringing him to that situation. Hallelujah. That is why we deal with the natural, but we also deal with the spiritual. When we correct our attitudes, we correct our actions, we correct our decisions, but we also deal with the source in the realm of the spirit and correct it. Hallelujah. If you are here today, or you have someone that fits what I'm talking about, that you know every day they wake up and they knock at doors, it's not that they are lazy. It's just that in spite of all their efforts, nothing is happening. Under this anointing and grace, I command that shackle be broken in the name of Jesus. Let that shackle be broken in the name of Jesus. Understand this, that poverty is a spirit. It's not that it doesn't want you to have money. It also will make sure that anything that must bring money to your hand is tampered with. The spirit of poverty makes sure that you don't just have money, but that you can't have money in your pocket. That when money comes, there's something waiting for it. Everything that has been working well in the house, the moment money comes, when that spirit is at work, all of a sudden it breaks because it is captivity. Therefore, when you confront it with all forms of anger. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Say, it's a new day for me. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 5. It says, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He was not a lazy man. He said, I've worked all night. I've toiled all night. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to break the power of toiling. Hallelujah. Your days of laboring and having nothing to show to it, to show for your labor, are over in the name of Jesus. They are over in the name of Jesus. It's a new day for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Financial captivity will make sure that what is in your hand does not produce anything meaningful. Some people, it's not that they don't have money, but in spite of all the money they have, they can't show anything for it. You know, as I was preparing, I was thinking about the mama that helps us in the house. With her maid salary, she has built a 3-bedroom house. Because money finds meaning in her. It's not about the amount. There are people who earn much more, but who still do not have a house. Money does not have meaning in the house. It is a spirit. Hallelujah. I remember, you know, I used to have a colleague who discovered that her husband, we were working in the bank. He would come home. He used to work in Pulukwan. We were in Palabura. Whenever he would come, there would be no money. And you know, she said, says Kodmina, today I'm going into his account. Remember, we are bound by law. You can't go into somebody's account. She said, I'm going today. And she entered. It said, gambling, gambling, gambling. Mirupa, mirupa, mirupa. That's how she got fired, because she discovered it, she confronted it, he reported her, and she lost her job. With that kind of money, captivity came in a form of gambling. You are here today under the sound of my voice. Gambling has entered your house. Today, in the name of Jesus, I command that foul devil, that foul spirit, be broken in the name of Jesus. Be loose from it in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of poverty, I bind it. I break its hold over you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. It must look like I'm joking, and I mean every word I'm saying. You know, when I first met Pastor, he came to
see my mom the first time. And my mother was excited to see him. And when he left, he said, because you have received me as a prophet, I release a prophet's reward over you. Somehow those words sank in my spirit. And I used to serve in our church. So people, you know, when you serve a church, people will just appreciate the grace on your life. And one day I was passing through the taxi rank at Zanin. There was this mom who had a crate of tomatoes. And she said, oh, Saskodi, you know, when you lead us to worship, I don't sing, but I used to lead worship. But when you lead us, the same way, like, I just worship God from the pool. Whenever you lead us worship, you know, God visits me. I can't explain it. And I remembered Pastor's words. And I said to her, the same way you've honored me as a prophet, I release over you a prophet's reward. And I moved. About some time later, she came because she knew I was working in the bank. She came and knocked. She said, when you finish work, come through where you left that place. When I went, she had a stall. She said, from that day, people bought my tomatoes. I had to buy more. And my shop just has expanded. It has now, I now have a stall. Listen. I don't know who you are. I don't know what has not been selling. I don't know what has not been working. But tonight, I command the blessing of the Lord over you. In the name that is above every other name, I command that shop to begin to work and bring profit in the name of Jesus. Your career, let it produce in the name of Jesus. You are blessed in the name of Jesus. I decree major promotions in the name of Jesus. Ah, your product will travel the world. You will travel the world in the name of Jesus. If I be a woman of God, let things that you have never seen in your life before, let it begin to locate you right now. Let the kind of doors you've only had people testify about, let them open for you today in the name of Jesus. Let the God who called me by name, let him honor himself in your life in the name of Jesus. You are blessed. Ezekiel, a great man, was in captivity. But let's finish that verse so that I can wrap up. Verse 1, where we started, it says, and the heavens were opened. Listen, the reason for captivity is a closed heaven. When the heavens are closed, this very, you know, things just don't work the way that they're supposed to work. But I decree that the heavens over your life are opened in the name of Jesus. Amen. The heavens over your life are opened in the name of Jesus. Amen. One of the things that closes the heavens is the sin of idolatry. The Bible says in the book of Exodus chapter 20 verse 5. It says, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me. Listen, God hates idolatry. Every form of idolatry. He hates it. Because when you idolize something, you want to equate that thing to God. And God will not have it. Hallelujah. Some of you will say, no, I don't bow to any gods. I don't worship any gods. But whenever there is something at home where you know that what they want to do does not glorify God, you will be sending your money there to go and partake in those kind of things. Listen to what, when Judas, after Judas betrayed Jesus and Jesus died, when he came to his senses,
The Bible says Judas took the money that he got from selling Jesus. He took it back to the high priest. And the high priest rejected the money. He said, if we receive this money and add it in the offering, it will corrupt the offering. It will corrupt the temple money. They rejected his money. There are places your money must never go to. Pastor tells us every day that money is your voice. It is your blood. There are things you must refuse to be associated with or with your resources. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to thank God for the word you have received today. Thank God for the word that you have received today. Father, we thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. We believe you are blessed by the word. For more, please visit our website, www.alivewithjoseph.com, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel, Alive with Joseph Ngokocha. Till next time, God bless.